Climate change has become a national security issue. The Pentagon acknowledges that flooding, drought, and extreme storms can disrupt U.S. military capabilities and threaten military bases and facilities worldwide. Retired Air Force Lieutenant General Dirk Jamieson is speaking on the subject this morning at ASU's Julianne Wrigley Global Institute of Sustainability. Jamieson was commander of the Air Force Nuclear Weapons Program, so I started by asking him whether he's determined that climate change is as great a threat as nuclear weapons.
Nuclear is still a thing to be concerned about, but climate is emerging, and it's a little different in that it's not the 8-second response or the less than a minute to Armageddon, but it is more like the lobster pot where we're in it, the temperature's getting warmer, and before too long, there will be a very difficult circumstance.
So when you hear people on whatever side of the argument discuss it, knowing and feeling the way you do about how great a threat it is it frustrating that people can't at least agree that it's a threat, whether they agree it's the greatest or not? It feels like from a practical level, we're not seeing as much progress as maybe the general public would like to see.
I'm actually comforted by the fact that 97% of the scientists do agree, and they agree on what is happening. And even 11,300 scientists up the ante by saying this is an emergency. So I think that awareness is growing. I think it's important that we continue to raise the level of awareness. And I'm willing to go and answer questions wherever we can to do that.
So how is the threat manifesting itself in practical ways right now?
Well, you can take a dart and throw it at the globe. And likely, wherever it hits, you can make a case for urgency. If you want to do South Asia, the Bay of Bengal, Bangladesh, with more people than Russia or Japan, and sea level only needs to rise a foot and a half there to displace millions of people. And India doesn't take kindly to that, so it could be a cause for conflict. It would be a cause for migration because people are going to go where they have to go to survive. Even in the United States, we don't have to do anything but open the paper or turn on the TV to see that it is daunting. California's on fire. The Midwest has been underwater. The Northeast has been handling floods. Folks, it's time to get serious about this.
So getting serious means what from an individual level all the way up to governments? What should we be doing?
Well, it's very interesting because a few years ago, the international community came together and said, this is what we're going to do. The U.S. has vacated itself from that. But at the local and state level, a lot is going on, and a lot of it is good. Right here in Phoenix, you know, Phoenix is the third fastest warming city in the country. Arizona is fourth in the number of states in terms of fastest warming. They are doing things. Now, is it enough? I think it kind of falls into the category, I'm not sure we can all do enough on a daily basis. We just have to keep upping the ante.
So in the bigger picture then, nationally at the decision-making level, at this stage, what are some bigger steps that if policymakers were so inclined, what are some things they should be doing?
Take Texas as an example because I have association with a fairly large group of partisan people, and you would be surprised at which side they're on because Texas is an energy state. These are people that have been on the conservative side, and they are pressing their legislators very hard to listen to them and understand that the legislatures need to start getting in line to get things done. Now, as far as the United States goes, the world needs U.S. leadership. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to do that, but I do believe, based on my long association with the military and national security, that at a national level, the U.S. needs to provide leadership, and I hope they will.
And that leadership looks like what? Is there a plan that you like?
The military is a good example. The military can't take for granted that we don't have to worry about this or that. in the nuclear days we thought there was less than a 20% chance of a real nuclear exchange, mm-hmm. that didn't let us off the hook. It was really something we had to worry about and bill for. I think climate change falls into the same category, and the U.S. military is doing a lot of things. And when things go wrong, like a super typhoon, they're usually the ones that get the phone call to go help out and get thousands of people out of harm's way, rescued, get them resources. And that's a growing task for the U.S. military, which a lot of people don't think about. It was only a year ago that we had a super typhoon in the Pacific that, in other words, winds at 200 miles an hour, that banged off of Saipan and Guam, and that's one of our huge strategic bases at Guam. So if it hadn't glanced off, it did cause $1 billion worth of damage. That was in the same 3-week period that Category 5 Hurricane Michael hit the Gulf Coast, obliterated Tyndall Air Force Base, mm-hmm. where we have our most valuable Air Force resources, the F-22. So this is not something that we can ignore.
When did this become a concern of yours? When did you realize, as someone, again, we mentioned someone involved with nuclear weapons, when did you come to feel that this was something that was as great a threat?
It's an interesting question because I got out of the military feeling pretty good. We won the Cold War. Things were looking good. It's time to relax. But I still had contacts, and they were in the Pentagon, and they were just really some good people that I like from my military career. They were what we call fast burners. In other words, they were moving a little bit faster than their contemporaries. And this particular group was Air Force, and they were working directly under the Air Force Chief of Staff in the Pentagon. They were trying to figure out what the Air Force had to worry about out through all the way. They were looking as far as 2100. And they were looking at population growth. They were looking at was already a clear understanding that temperatures were increasing. And they saw that the U.S. people had the resources to live comfortably. Mm. They had all the energy they needed. They had all the water they needed. But they worried about the rest of the world and whether the other parts of the world would see, boy, those Americans are living great. I want some more electricity, or I want some more water. So they were trying to figure that. That's how I heard about it. And I thought, this is something that I want to know more about.
That is retired Air Force Lieutenant General Dirk Jamison. He's in the Valley talking about climate change as a national security issue.